Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
This morning, I want to carry on with a series on and in the book of Acts. We have moved along up to chapter 16, but I just want to just do a quick, you know, just a quick 180, 360 of, so I guess that's halfway and then all the way back around. On the book of Acts, over the last few weeks, we've done chapter 13, 14, 15. And in Acts 14, we did that probably 3 or 4 weeks ago. You know, there was a city, a very influential city named Antioch, and lots of people were getting saved. And the church and a community was birthed and born into this city called Antioch. And it was comprised, it was made up of a bunch of Jewish people and a bunch of Gentile people. Who are the Gentiles? Non-Jewish people. It's not complicated. But it was two groups of people that had found Jesus, started a church together, and it was growing. Things were going great. And Barnabas and Paul had initiated that, two apostolic men who went in. And just the Holy Spirit came. It was powerful. It was amazing. And then as it happens in this world, then people got involved. Well-meaning, nosy, busybodies got involved. And some busybodies, some Jewish men came up from the main church, senior church, mothership from Jerusalem. No one had sent them. They just made it of their own business to butt into someone else's business. So some Jewish men came from Jerusalem, went to Antioch, this new cool church, and began teaching these new believers, most of them, that Jesus isn't enough. You need to become Jewish also. First off, all these new Gentile people who are now trusting in Jesus, you have to be circumcised. I'm sure that was great news for all the men. And besides that, that's just the doorway in to this new life with Jesus. Now you have to follow all 613 of the Jewish laws and traditions and rules. And the people broke out. I won't call it bedlam, but there was certainly an amount of chaos, because all these people had known was Jesus is enough. That's the gospel. But these people who had a Jewish background, who were Christians themselves, came and said, well, it's not just Jesus. You have to do all these things also. And Paul and Barnabas were fit to be tied. They stopped. Whoa, stop what you're doing. This is not right. And so the whole thing got referred back to Jerusalem. And we saw that in Acts chapter 15 over the last couple of weeks. And a council was formed in Jerusalem to decide the matter. These people who want to bring all these Christians back into Judaism, obey laws, get circumcised. You have to do this. Jesus isn't enough. That's what the Jewish people were teaching from Jerusalem, some of them. And so the council of godly people gathered together, and reason won out, Holy Spirit won out. And at the end of the day, they decided, nope, Jesus absolutely is enough. The Jewish background and all the 613 rules and circumcision was too much for all of our history. As a nation of Israel, we failed until Jesus the Messiah came. Jesus is enough. So the matter was settled. But in that, the council in Jerusalem sent back word to the church in Antioch. However, y'all, and this is me paraphrasing a little bit, which is always dangerous, but bear with me. Got this church in Antioch comprised of Gentiles who have no religious background of the Bible, with a whole bunch of Jewish people who were raised with the Bible. They're in the same church together. So Gentiles, could you do this? Could you please be sensitive to your Jewish brothers and sisters? When you have a pot bless after church, don't bring pork steaks. When you make sandwiches when you're having the Jewish people over, no BLTs, no bacon. And so they gave them four things, understanding you have these Jewish people, don't do certain things around. Live in kindness, live in generosity, live in understanding they have a different background. So don't eat meat that was offered to idols. Don't eat animals that were strangled. And no, obviously there was a simple one that was forever and still will remain forever. Stay away from immorality. So the church in Jerusalem said, look, Jesus is enough. Don't worry about circumcision. That's yesteryear. It is no longer valid. Don't do it. And then 2 weeks ago, we looked at a very painful, but very real, very raw, very honest description of what happened between two powerhouses, two godly men, Barnabas and Paul. And they had a falling out over an individual, over a young man who had failed previously. And Barnabas wanted to give the kid another shot. And Paul, kind of a hard-nosed, old-school guy, said, nope, one and done, you're out. And they had such a disagreement. They were so in disagreement over this young man. These two guys actually split. It's one of the first, you know, church splits. Well, this is a relationship split. And it's like, you guys can't split. You're amazing. The Holy Spirit put them together prophetically. Initially, you guys are supposed to go do this. And now, because of a difference of opinion, I won't say stubborn. I won't say not listening to God or softening of heart. I'm not going to say that. But these two brothers, amazing men of God, split over a difference of opinion over an individual. Tragic, horrific. And yet, God always does what God does. He cleans up our mess and makes something great come out of it. So now you have two different apostolic teams. Paul went this way. Barnabas went that way. That was the end of chapter 15. It's just action-packed, all this, chapter 13, chapter 14, chapter 15. People are getting healed. Revival breaks out. And as a result of revival breaking out, they get stoned. They get beaten. Persecution happens. Isn't that cool? Oh, we want revival. Okay, you ready for a good stoning? Good beating? It's in the Bible. Not saying that's going to happen to us. We'll just pray for revival. But what I said over the last few weeks is I so love the Bible. It puts warts and pimples and all the ugly stuff in there because it's reality. People get involved and we make it messy. And Holy Spirit comes in and he says, look, 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 let's find, let's bring heaven down here. Let's sort this out. Let's bring kingdom into it rather than personalities and opinions and schisms and attitudes. And as I read that, and as we read the Bible, we think, Lord Jesus, search me. Is there, find the offensive ways in me, those rough edges, those ugly areas that are still not refined, that still don't look and smell like Jesus. Show me, Lord. The Bible is such a beautiful mirror that I can look at. Yeah, it's so easy. We can think, what's wrong with you people? It's so clear. Well, 2,000 years later, it's really clear. But what about my life, my attitude, my today, my tomorrow? Many of you will know my wife, and I'm not going to highlight my wife because she tells me not to. But we've been married like 44 years. That's a long time, isn't it, Randy?
Yes.
Not easy. I didn't appreciate the tone. Yes, very long time. And I like to think I'm right most of the time. Now, all y'all who know us know that's wrong. She's right most of the time. But by the power of God, by the power of Scripture, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I see myself accurately. When I see myself through the lens of Jesus, through humility, faith, kindness, the Word of God, what the Bible has to say about life. So I love the Bible. I love how it shows us real people, real pain, but rejoicing, amazing. I mean, healings are all throughout the book of Acts. I love it. I love it. Churches are birthed. And now we're going to move into chapter 16. And I want us to highlight the first two sections of Acts chapter 16. And the title of the message this morning is a no can sometimes be your best friend. A no can sometimes be your best friend. Now, if you're like me, and I pray you are, I don't like to hear the word no. I like yes. Yes, Tom. Yes. You can have what you want. And once again, Tom, you're right. That's what I like to hear. But reality tells me something very different about myself. Sometimes, if I can hear God's no, it can be my best friend. Because it can save me from pain. God's no can save me from wasted time, wasted resource, wasted life. And am I in a posture of heart where I can hear no from heaven when I don't understand, when I don't like hearing no? Because God loves me and He loves you. And sometimes the best thing I can hear from heaven is a no. Because if I hear a no, that means something better is available that I'm missing. And I don't want to miss what God has for me. So as we read chapter 16, this is now follow-on from 15 where Barnabas and Paul have split. Paul is continuing on, and he's added Silas now instead of John Mark, who was the factious point, and Barnabas. So now it's Paul and Silas, and they're headed on their second missionary journey to go back to the churches that they finished with 5 years, most church historians will say. It's been 5 years since the churches that they birthed before, they haven't been back in a while. So Paul's like, let's go back and encourage those churches, okay? So now it's Paul and Silas instead of Paul and Barnabas, but it's familiar territory, but it's been 5 long years. Chapter 16, verse 1. Paul came to Derbe, remember? And then came to Lystra. That was chapter 14. That's where the person got healed and Paul got stoned and left for dead. So these are the stories and the cities that we read from earlier in Acts. So that Lystra is chapter 14 where he was left for dead. Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra where a disciple named Timothy lived. Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra where a disciple named Timothy lived. His mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek or a Gentile. The believers at Lystra and Iconium, surrounding cities, spoke well of him, speaking of Timothy. Paul wanted to take him, Timothy, so Paul meets this guy, Timothy, this young man, and Paul wanted to take him, verse 3, along on the journey. So he circumcised him. What? This is the same Paul that argued so strongly you can't circumcise. We don't need that anymore. Paul stood up and caused a commotion and saying, you guys are so wrong. No more circumcision. Chapter 14, chapter 15, it's right there in the Bible. So now in chapter 16, he meets this young kid. He says, hey, let's get circumcised. But I already am. How about you? This passage of scripture bothered me for years because I couldn't understand. Paul, have you lost your mind? Dementia? What happened? You made such a big deal of it. And now, what? Verse 3, chapter 16. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, Timothy. So he circumcised him. Why? Because of the Jews who lived in that area. Why did he do that? The Bible says because of the Jews who lived in that area. For they all knew that his father was a Greek. Verse 4, as they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and the elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. Don't eat meat strangled. Don't eat meat offered to idols. That's the decisions, the four things. As they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. This is an amazing passage of scripture for me. Like I said, I just couldn't get my head around it. Paul, why are you doing this? Paul says, hey, Tim, I want you to be on the team. I want you to travel with us, okay? Yes! I mean, what young person wouldn't want to be traveling with the Apostle Paul? Yes, I'm in. Oh, yeah, asterisk. One little thing. You're going to have a surgical procedure. It's going to be sensitive. Timothy's like, oh, how cool is that? And you think, Paul, you made such a big deal out of you don't need circumcision. And now this kid, what? Why? Well, if we remember the strategy that Paul and Barnabas had arrived at, what they would do when they went to any new city, this is Paul's apostolic strategy. He would go into a new area, a new region, a new city. And what was the first thing he did? He went straight to the synagogue, straight to all Jewish people. That was Paul's strategy. It's in the Bible, it actually says that. Everywhere he went, he would go straight to the Jewish people. Why? Because he was proclaiming Jesus as the Messiah, the hope of Israel. He didn't just typically would go out if there wasn't a Jewish population. Then, you know, that was one thing. But if there was a Jewish synagogue, if there were people there, that was the first place he went, was the Jewish people. And Paul understands something. The Jews will not receive anyone in their synagogue, can't receive anyone in their synagogue who's not circumcised. And if you're stupid enough to bring someone in who's not circumcised, you're out also. So Paul understands we've got a journey, we've got a mission, we've got a mission from God. We're going to reach Jewish people. And so Timothy, this is what he would have told him. Timothy, this has nothing to do with whether you're saved or not. It has nothing to do with your salvation. This has to do with getting access into people's hearts. Let me make a parallel for you. If you had the privilege of going to a Muslim-dominated country, and some people in this room have, what you wouldn't do is invite a Muslim over to your house in Uzbekistan, Turkestan, Afghanistan, whatever, stand. You're not going to invite a Muslim over and have pork chops. It's offensive. You can't do it. You understand the culture in which you've been sent. You can't do that. You're not going to have any alcohol in the house and have a Muslim over. It simply can't be done. So you say, for the sake of reaching a people group, I will not, so that I have access into your hearts, access into your lives. And Paul understands, for this people group, the Jewish people, I cannot take an uncircumcised man into the synagogue. Won't be accepted. They won't even get the opportunity to hear about Jesus. So, Timothy, if you want to go with me on my team, we're going to the synagogues. And that means, son, there's some pain involved for you to join the team. Has nothing to do with Timothy being a Christian. Has nothing to do with Timothy being saved. Does that make sense? That's the only reason why Paul did this. I want you to have access to this people group, and they won't receive you as you are. Now, for some Christians, that creates a, well, what about my freedom? I don't want to. Well, that's okay. Stay at home. To be on this missionary team, there's some prerequisites, some cost. So Paul didn't lose his marbles, didn't lose his mind, wasn't going back on the very thing he fought so hard for, was freedom from Jewish tradition and religion. He said, we want to reach people. We don't want to offend people. We don't want to create an impasse before we even get past first base. This is what it's going to cost, son. Do you want to do this or not? And Timothy, of course, did it. And he became one of the more famous people in the Bible, in the New Testament. Timothy, God's hand was on him. It was amazing, amazing. But it was first, Timothy, we got to fix this because we have a primary worship field. Mission field, sorry. Well, they did worship. So it's about effectiveness and understanding your people. Who am I trying to influence? And so I look at my own life and I think, for me, Tom, are there things in my life that are impediments to reaching people? My attitudes, my actions, my thought process, my speech pattern. And I think about people who are in marriages where a husband isn't saved or a wife isn't saved. And your heartbeat is to reach your spouse who doesn't know Jesus. What if God asked you to change something about your life or your lifestyle in order to reach your spouse? Would you do it? What if you have a relationship, a fractured relationship with one of your children, one of your adult children, and just your behavior, just how you are, is creating an impasse to reaching your child's heart? God never asked you to compromise your faith. But in wisdom, might I need to change some of my behavior, some of my speech, some of my action in order to win somebody to Jesus? Does that make sense?
Yes.
So as I'm reading this, I think, why would this be in here? Tom, are things that I do offensive to people? Yes, is the answer. Holy Spirit, make me aware so that I can win people to Jesus. So that my Tomosity isn't creating an impasse, a barrier for people. Help me, Jesus, to change in my heart so that I can love people. But I don't want to. It's okay, Tom. I think Jesus is more interested in building a bridge for connection to their heart than my rights, my freedom, my privilege. I think it's all about freedom. All about choice. Acts chapter 16, 6 through 9. Let's carry on in reading. If you have questions about that afterwards, please see me. Or see Randy, better yet. Talk to Randy. She's got a real handle on all this stuff. Acts 16, verse 6 through 9. Paul and his companions, this would be Silas, Paul, and now Timothy. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. What? What is Paul wanting to do? He wants to preach the gospel. And the Holy Spirit says, no. Now for American charismatic Christians, I rebuke you, devil. I'm preaching the gospel where I want because I feel that's what I'm supposed to do. It's my American charismatic privilege. You're not the boss of me, devil. Go away. Well, it was the Holy Spirit that told this team of people, no, don't go there. No. But they don't know Jesus. I'm well aware of that. I'm speaking for Holy Spirit, which is really dangerous. The Holy Spirit was really aware of who didn't know him and who did. But Paul is an evangelist. He's an apostle. Go everywhere, the whole world. It's open. Go. Until the Holy Spirit says, no. And so he headed these two places, Phrygia and Galatia, was towards the south of where they were and towards the east of where they were. And it says in the province of Asia, if you'll read the end of chapter or verse 6, it's the province of Asia, which is totally different. We think of Asia nowadays. It's not speaking about China and Russia and Afghanistan and India. It's talking about Asia Minor. It was a Roman colony, a Roman province at the time. So when it says Asia, we're not speaking about China, Afghanistan, India. It was the Roman Asia Minor that we're speaking of. So Paul's like, hey, let's go down here to the southeast into this part of the province of Asia. Holy Spirit says, nope. Why would Paul want to go there? Because there's this amazing, powerful city called Ephesus there. And Paul, if he's anything, he's a strategist. I need to go to Ephesus because Ephesus is a powerhouse city. We're going to Ephesus. And the Holy Spirit said, no. No, you're not. And it's kind of a sense of timing. Anybody ever have a timing issue with God? Where he says, you know it's time, it's right. Maybe you're 17 and you want to get married. No. Timing. Sorry. It's all about timing. But Lord, it's the gospel. Ephesus is right there. It's the crown jewel of Asia Minor in the Roman province. Why not? Because he said no. One of the things I so appreciate about Paul is his ability to listen, his discernment, his ability to listen to the supernatural direction of the Holy Spirit, listening to the voice of God. So he said, okay, so we're not going to go southeast. Let's go a different direction. Verse 7. And when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia. But the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. What? You're hemming me in, Lord. So they tried to go southeast. No. All right, great. We'll go north. There's cool places up there that don't know about you, Jesus. We'll just go to the north. And the Holy Spirit says, don't go there. That messes with some of our mentality. They need Jesus, don't they? Yes. They need the gospel, don't they? Yes. So let's go north. Nope. And one of the beautiful things I love about Paul, it's like when we read he was stoned to death, but they thought he was dead, but wasn't, in chapter 14 of Acts. He just got up, went back into the city, and carried on. There is no keeping Paul down. He is annoyingly strong. He is strong like bull. Other people is like, you know what? I keep trying. Jesus keeps telling me no. This must not be my calling. I'm going to go back home and sell bread. Now, Paul, hey, it's only north. It's only east. It's only south. There's other directions. So guess what direction he tried? North, east, south.
West.
Paul says, I'm going west. The Holy Spirit says, I'm going to go. So verse 8 of this same chapter. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas, which was west. And during the night, Paul had a vision of a man. Everybody say man.
Man.
Had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, if it were me, I'd be like, no. Not that I ever have a bad attitude. I mean, not me. Y'all might, but not me. And I love this. So he gets his vision. Come over here to Macedonia and help us. Verse 10. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia. At once. Paul kept hearing, no, don't go there. No, don't go there. Now I have something so much better for you, going into Macedonia. It wasn't Paul's interest. It wasn't his direction. It wasn't in his top 2-3 on his list. It was simply the only option left. I've tried every other direction. I got to go this way then. Why not tell Paul up front, hey, I think what the Lord wanted to do with Paul was, I want you to be able to hear no and trust me. Are you still interested in following me when you hear a no for something that you want to do, for something that you believe in? If Paul had gone those other ways, he would have missed an opportunity. See, the funny thing was, in Macedonia, where he ended up going, it was current-day Croatia, Serbia, and Greece. This next missionary journey was about to take a U-turn, a left turn, and go into Europe. Paul had no interest in going into that region, but God had an interest in breaking the gospel into Europe. He wanted to go for a city called Ephesus. And God says, I have so much more for you than a city. I've got a whole new continent for you. But you can't see it because it's not in your mind. But if you'll listen to me, if you'll listen to the no's, I'll send you to a yes, and you'll change a continent for Jesus. In 1980, no, not that one. In 1998, my wife and I were living in England. This is before you. My wife and I were pastoring a church in England, just north of London, and Faye was there with her wonderful husband, Daniel. They were relatively newly married, and we were pastoring a church in England, and it was a great church. I loved the church. 1998, what year did you get married? 97?
97.
Yeah, so you've been married a whole year by then. You weren't part of the fam yet, but you were coming. That's their son, one of their sons. In 1998, we're pastoring this church, and the church was going great. It really was. It was an outstanding church. It was great. And the people that we worked for, basically worked with for three different apostles. and had worked with these three different apostles for 20 years. That's all that I had known. And these three apostles began bickering and fighting amongst themselves. And the ministry began breaking up and splitting. And for me, these are my heroes. They're the only people I'd ever known and worked for. They are 30 years older than me, know their Bibles 10 times better than me. I saw miracles at their hands, hundreds of people getting saved at their words. These are dynamic men of God. Three different apostles, and they can't get along. Just like Barnabas and Paul. And these three apostles are fighting and acting. They're acting like five-year-olds fighting over someone else's toys. You ever see that? We've got a new puppy in the house, and the little puppy fights over the big dog's toys. It's not your toy, but that little puppy wants the toy. So I was watching these three apostles fighting over people and money and power, and it was mostly just personality amongst the three of them. Isn't that many times just the real issue? It's personalities colliding. So I was pastoring a church with my wife, and I'm watching these three heroes of mine fighting. And here's my conclusion. I'm out. I want to leave. There's another ministry group. There's an apostolic guy named Terry Virgo. Most of you never heard of him. And I was like, I'm going to Terry Virgo's church. I'm going to take this whole church, and we're going to go serve Terry Virgo. Different apostolic people. I'm going to be happy. It's because I want it. That's a problem. And I couldn't sleep at night. It went on for probably 8 weeks. My wife knew what was going on. Dan and Fee did not know what was going on. And I had a dear friend of mine in the north of England call and say, I know you're struggling with what God wants to do with your life right now. And he was working with Terry Virgo. He wanted me to go with his church group. And he said, there's a prophetic ministry coming to town. It was 5 hours away in the very north, Durham, if you know England. A ministry person is coming to our church and ministering. God's going to speak to you. So I'm like, I'm in, because I need God to speak to me. So I went 5 hours north in a driving rainstorm. It's England. It's ugly. I mean, the rainstorm was ugly. Country and people are beautiful. So much to say. So I arrived 10 minutes late with my dear friend, Andrew Westerman. The room, it's just like this. There's 200 people in the room. There are no chairs. There are chairs this morning, but there were no chairs in this room. And worship had already begun. So, of course, you arrive at church late, old school. You sit in the front row. So I'm sitting in the front row, worship, and I'm like, okay, get worship over. I had a bad attitude. Anybody ever have? I had a bad attitude. So I'm finished worship. Let's move on. So finally, worship ends, and I'm sitting there with a bad attitude, but hungry, because I want to hear God, because I'm troubled on the inside. What do you want me to do? I'm troubled. And this lady gets up and she says, this evening I want to speak on prophetic intercessory prayer warfare. I wanted to say, we're going to move in the spirit. God's going to speak to y'all tonight. Prophetic intercessory prayer warfare. That was the title. I got a worse attitude. I'm sitting in the front row and I'm just like, dear Jesus, I love you. Come soon. Come now. Save me. 5 hours rainstorm. I left my wife at home with four little children all screaming and crying probably. I'm going to be so much trouble when I get home. I'm just fussing sitting in my chair. 10 minutes into the message, this prophet stops. In the middle of her teaching, it was a woman, they can do that. She stops, looks to the leader of the meeting, and says, I can't keep going. Can I minister? And the other person said, sure. And so this lady looks, I arrived 10 minutes late. Nobody in the room knows who I am. It's a college, it's a university town. This woman looks straight at me and says, you in the black and white checkered shirt, stand up. So I'm like, oh, she saw my wicked heart. I love your ministry. You're an amazing teacher. Tell me more. I'm a learner. I'm humble, too. I just broke out into a sweat. I've been caught out. Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm changing my bad attitude. right now. It's changed. I'll never have another bad attitude as long as I live. She looks right at me, says, guy in the black and white check shirt, stand up. So I stand up, and she said, and she looks at me, and she gets close to me, and she says, I don't know who you are, and I don't know where you're from. She says, but you're a foreigner living in a foreign land. My attention was grabbed. And she said, while I was attempting to teach, I kept seeing you. And I saw a hand from heaven reach through a cloud and pick you and your family up from wherever you're living and take you back to where you came from. I didn't want to move. I loved England. And then she told me five things that were going to happen when we got back to the States. Five things. God speaks. God gives direction. You can read stuff like this in the Macedonian dream and this man who, you know, come over and help. You think, why doesn't that happen anymore? Oh, it happens. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you still speak. You still move. 6 months later, my wife and I moved to Chicago. We thought we were going to St. Louis because it was just back to your country. It's a fairly big country. You got multiple options for states, much less cities. But God began speaking to us prophetically and in dreams for me. And we ended up going to Chicago. Dan and Fee came. We have an amazing church in Chicago as a result. And what I want to say was, my options were, I wanted to do this and this. And God said, no. I have something very different for you. Something so much better than your bad attitude plans. You like that, Yogi? Happy birthday. So as I read this, I ask myself, Lord, I have thoughts. Paul had thoughts. I'm going to go to the south. I'm going to go to the east. I'm going to go to the north. And he just kept trying until finally he had a heaven interaction where he had a dream. He said, go west, young man, go west. So where are you in your life? Where am I in our life? So many options, so many opportunities. I can do what I want because I'm an American. I can hear what I want. It's my choice. And I think for me, at that moment, I was like, Lord, forgive me for my attitude. I'm bought, I'm paid for, I'm purchased by your blood. My life is in your hands. Whether I'm working for Boeing, whether I'm working for Carl's car cleaner, whether I'm working in McDonald's, heaven help me. Lord, I'm yours, and I'll listen to your voice, and I'll do what you want, when you want, how you want. And I don't need to understand. I had no idea where to go in the United States. It's a really big dartboard. Great, but how? So this is Paul. He's trying different directions, and finally, God speaks. So what does that have to do with me and you? Can I just say, there are so many times in our life we don't know what to do. We're in challenged relationships with our kids. We're in challenged relationship in our home. I have a challenged relationship at work. I get job offers. I get job opportunities. Should I do all this? Should I do all that? What should I do? Should I be in a different church? Great, but how? What do I do? Can I just say, as a believer, as a child of God, we already heard it from Mark Levesque earlier. I'm going to mess it up. Do you remember what you said?
No.
Good. See, that's when you know it's the anointing. I think I wrote it down. It's in here somewhere. Yeah, we're God's beloved child. And your father is well pleased. Thank you. See how I remembered that? He loves me enough. He loves you enough. Your Heavenly Father wants to speak to you. He wants to speak to you. My question is, am I listening? Or do I have my mind made up? Am I head up about something? Do I have an attitude where the pipe is clogged with attitude? Or what I want? Or what I'm sick of and what I'm tired of? Anybody ever get that point in life? Where you want to make a bad decision, but you want to make a decision because you're just tired of where it is right now? Great, but how? First thing, what do I do? Stop and listen. Am I irritated? Am I frustrated? Am I bored? Can I just encourage us? We have an option. Don't just do something. Don't just do something. Stop and listen. What does he have to say? I am God's beloved child in whom he is well pleased. It's right there in my notes. I wrote it down. He's my father and he wants to speak to me. Am I interested in listening? Jesus loves me. He loves you or his children. He gives humanity a choice. God, I sometimes I don't like it, but God gives me the choice to do something stupid. Anybody ever do something stupid? He gives me that option to do something stupid. Or I can listen to him and do what he tells me to do. But I have to stop and open my ears. Isaiah 58:11 says this. I'm going to finish in 3 minutes in Jesus' name. Isaiah 58:11. This is what the scripture says. The Lord will guide you always. And he will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. And you will be like a well-watered garden whose waters will never fail. Proverbs 3:5-6. We all know this. Most of us know this. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, your own opinion, your own conjecture, your own great idea, because I've got lots of them. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Second, great but how? First is stop and listen. He wants to guide you. Second, great but how? What do I do? How do I hear? How do I make decisions? Can I just encourage you, pray in the Spirit? If you speak in tongues, if you speak in a heavenly language, pray in tongues more. More. It's a little out of context, but the essence is there. In Ephesians 6:18, Paul said this. Ephesians 6:18. This is Paul. He says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray in the Spirit. If you don't have a heavenly language, if you don't speak in tongues, it's just a tool. There's nothing glamorous about it. It's a gift from heaven. You meet all the requirements. If you know Jesus, it's a gift for you. Pray in the Spirit. It's such a valuable weapon. It's such a valuable gift. When I don't know what to do, I pray in tongues. You see Paul talking about in Corinthians, Ephesians. What do? Pray in the Spirit. Last, number three, great, but how? What do? Read my Bible. What does the Bible say? He will not contradict Scripture. Real quick, I had a lady my wife and I knew 25 years ago. And she came to us and she said, I want to marry Ed. No, we got an Ed. I want to marry Fred. It's like Ed's cousin, Fred. She said, I'm going to marry Fred. And I was like, Fred who? And she said, Fred Carlucci. And I was like, Fred Carlucci, the guy who's married to Susan? She said, yeah, God spoke to me. I'm going to marry Fred. No, you're not, sweetheart. He's a married man. It contradicts Scripture. I don't care what you think you heard. It contradicts the Bible. The Bible is a plumb line that keeps me from weirdness, keeps me from sin. It's a lighthouse that keeps the ship headed towards safe harbor instead of breaking up on rocks. Lord Jesus, help us learn the Word of God. Keeps me in a safe harbor. Keeps me out of disaster. I know so many friends over the years, charismatic Christians, come up with the bizarrest, craziest stuff that contradicts Scripture, and they want to hold on to it because they feel like the Holy Spirit spoke to them. If it violates Scripture, I don't think so. Psalm 119:105. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the power of the Word of God. I thank you, Lord, that you put all these challenges in there, all these people's problems, all the fractions, the infighting, the bickering, the success, the miracles, the salvation, the breakout into regions, Lord. Lord, you want to do that here and now with us. I know that. But Lord, thank you for the Word of God. Teach me. Help me. Holy Spirit, I am here to listen to your voice. Help me to stop with all my ideas, all my great suggestions that I have for you, Jesus. My great ideas that I want to submit to you, Jesus. Can I just stop and listen for your voice? That I wouldn't waste my life. I wouldn't waste resource. I wouldn't waste energy. That I wouldn't frustrate myself and all the people around me and lose credibility by weirdness if I just listened to your voice and heard you and obeyed. Help us as a family, Lord, to follow your agenda, your plan, your compass. Lead us, guide us, direct us, as your word says that you're faithful and you want to do so. All we have to do is stop and listen. Trust in your unfailing love. Thank you as a family, Lord. You will lead us to green pasture and bear much fruit. Bless this people, Father. As we go home today, tonight, this week, Lord, we would hear your voice. That we would have real answers for real challenges. Heaven's solutions. Not my great idea, but heaven's solution to bring life. Bless us as a people, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. We have a prayer team. I'm going to have them come forward real quick. If you have a need, if you want to speak in tongues, you want a heavenly gift, prayer team will pray for you to receive that gift. It is for every single individual. It's a matter of whether I've stepped into it or not. It's okay. No failure. It's just a gift. That's all it is. So if you have a need, we want to pray with you. God bless you. Have an amazing week. Amen and amen. Thank you.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.